views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA. Today is September the 7th, 2017. We have a live show for you today and looking forward to doing that. And if you, everyone, if you would please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network, and you could do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And check out the website, and on the website of the homepage, you'll be able to see where you can get some of your financial energy by way of a donation to keep this program and this overall network going and growing. You can do that if you're listening to it, you've been benefiting from it. I think it's only prudent in for us to actually share in that, because we are eating from the fruit. It's time for us from time to time to feed the roots. Have to do it so that the tree can remain vibrant and alive. So give what it is that you can give. Give some of your financial energy. That is what it will keep this network going and growing. You could do that by going to the website and hitting the home on the homepage, hitting the donation prompt. You can also support the network by going to Black Talk Radio Network social media outlet known as BTR Community. For $24 a year, you can have a subscription into the BTR community membership, where you can post things about yourself, your business, or things that you think are relevant, important, or need more public awareness. You can do that there, and all your social media activities can be done there without you being adversely affected the way you would be on Facebook, tweeting, and everything else. So come on over to BTR, $24 a year. Okay, so before we get into everything, let me get into a couple of things, and then we'll get into what's in the news, and we'll get into today's show. Today's show is going to be a open discussion on everything. But my man, Brother Braggs, is going to be coming in. Definitely want to talk to Brother Braggs about some really, 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 really good stuff. In the first hour, we're going to do some of the very, very important stuff that we got to do, or what's going on. Then we're going to bring Brother Braggs in at the 6 o'clock time slot. And then for that hour, we'll be talking to Brother Braggs about some of the things that he's been seeing and some of the things that he's found, some phenomenal stuff that you need to be hearing and know about and do some of your own research to engage and to be more aware of your overall surroundings so that you can make a decision that's in the best interest of you, your family, and our overall community. So we'll be talking to my man, Brother Braggs. What's up, Brother Braggs? I see you there. So with that being said, let's everyone continue to support my man, Michael Emmanuel, if you can. Give a donation to, and you can do that by the GoFundMe campaign. It's there on the website for Black Talk Radio Network. You'll see Michael Emmanuel, who's recovering from germ cell cancer. If you would all do that, you can go to the GoFundMe, GoFundMe.com/SamUnionYankee5P-3500. And that is where you can engage in giving what you can to Michael Emmanuel. Also, if you would like to acquire real money by saving in real money, because many of us don't realize that there are no constitutional rights that you have because the Constitution was not written for you, nor does it apply to you. And there's a lot of different reasons why. Once you take the precious metals class, you'll know why that is. And it's always a hot eye opener. Even from I've had some constitutional scholars or constitutional actually had a constitutional professor and shut him down real quick because it's all right there. And he's like, oh, shoot, didn't never think about this yet. So but you, it, just because you're not paid as a lady or a gentleman or as a king or queen, you don't have to save as a slave, because that's what the overall debt is the wage of a slave. So check out that. And if you would like to trade with us on in the cryptocurrencies, you can go to ourcryptocurrencies.com, ourcryptocurrencies.com, be a part of the TradeCoin Club group. You want to have one Bitcoin. You got to work up to putting one Bitcoin in there, and once you do it, it resets your overall platform and it starts your trading. It does well there. I take out daily and doing very, very well. You should be doing it as well if you can. If you want more information, you can text me, 951-790-8330. Also, we have Legacy Management Group is going to have a seminar on structuring your family legacy, basically trust and foundations. But one ticket is going to be $350. Two tickets is $500 here in the Dallas area. If you would like to be a part of that, come on down to Dallas and the right there inside of Kando Radio Show's page on BTR Community. Hit it. You'll see it says Legacy. Definitely want to be a part of it. I will be presenting that day. So very, very important. And we will definitely next week, we will have the trace minerals that Michael Emmanuel has been using and others. And it's been very, very effective. We'll bring that to you all next week. Very, very good stuff. Let me see. What else? Something else I forget? Nope. So let's jump into what's in the news. Then we'll get into today's show. So let me just pull this up real quick. Okay. So I posted, and we're going to play some of this stuff. So some of the videos that I posted, this was from BP Earthwatch. Dude does some real, real good work. And I said, and they talked about the solar flares, the CMEs, the coronal mass ejections that will be arriving, and they're going to be arriving some tonight, and some have already arrived, and some are going to be arriving first thing in the morning, Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. I said, we'll arrive 9/8/2017 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. Will last for 30 hours after the CME that's going to be hitting. We'll take a look at it. And then next article I put, wonder if the flares can make the hurricane stronger. I don't trust the system, if you get what I mean. So read between the lines. I wouldn't be surprised if there was no solar flare. They just put it on the instrument, and then now they can do different things. Or it may have been. Don't know. I don't trust them because their history tells us that you can't. Next article I got from NOAA. And from the National Hurricane Center, check out the path of Irma and everything else that's there. Two of them that were posted there. Also, I got this one from Wall Street Journal. Florida gas stations running out of fuel as Irma threatens state. Check out that article. Next one from Cerebrally Naive Network. Florida preps for mass evacuation, possible gridlock. Check out that article. Next article comes from the End of the American Dream. This is very, very important. Two nuclear power plants in Florida are directly in the path of Hurricane Irma. And I said, you put these plants there because you want them to be struck, period. There is no other reason why you would put a nuclear power plant, let alone two, in Florida or in areas that are susceptible to hurricanes and susceptible, putting them on fault lines for earthquake, because you want them to rupture. You want them to happen. And this is talking about Fukushima 101, 2, 3, and 4 happening now on another part of the continental divide, and have the overall spilling of radioactive isotopes. This thing, if it hits these nuclear power plants, there will be no difference than what happened in Japan. In Fukushima, Only thing is that it's going to be in the continental United States. So this is crazy. Then I'll tell you something else that tied into it that was nuts. Then check out this article from Strategic Culture. It says the King of Saudi Arabia is going to be meeting with the celebrity figurehead president of Russia, Vladimir Putin. And I said the USA is in her final days for sure. Check out that article, and we'll pick up some of that tomorrow on Financial Friday. Next article, I got this one from the Rutherford.org. What country is this? Forced blood draws, cavity searches. This is ridiculous, some of the stuff that's going on. And that's because the overall demise of things. And it's only going to get worse. Be careful of all the propaganda, because it wants to have an emotional response from you. But be aware of the circumstances. Very, very important. Next article comes from the BRIC Nations. And it says, Yemen declares two golden decades of BRICS begins. Two golden decades of BRICS begins. Yep. And NATO ends. So check out that article. Next article. This one is Trump breaks with Republicans on debt ceilings. Check out that one. Next one I got from Active Post. FEMA expects to run out of money by Friday as Superstorm Irma approaches Florida. And then this is the kicker. When I saw this, I was like, wow, they always tell you before they do it. Miami Beach mayor urges residents to get out now. This comes from Criminal Broadcast System, CBS, Miami. Miami Beach mayor urges residents to get out now. This is a nuclear hurricane. Wow. Nothing else more to say than wow. It was a pretty night on Miami Beach Wednesday. But what is coming is ugly, and the residents know it. Irma packs a Category 5 winds and is pushing massive storm surges, which could sweep the beach. You'll get all of these buildings lined up along the beach. The surge will hit the buildings first. The mayor said it's a nuclear hurricane. Two nuclear sites are in this path. It's going to be nuclear, all right, to tell you everything. Be ready, be prepared. Then there's another article that I posted just recently, 10 minutes ago, from a YouTube video from my man BP Earthwatch. Really, really good. I'm going to play some of that stuff. Then we're going to get into today's show. But I want to play some of the stuff to get you caught up. And so on what's going on with these CMEs. These CMEs are critically important. And what they could do, who knows? But they definitely... most earthquakes are produced by CMEs, and there was an earthquake. Strategic Melanin said that there was an earthquake, and then I knew that from just watching everything, and she asked, well, I wonder if the CMEs was the cause of it. I said yes, without a doubt. So let's take a look at some of this stuff. We're going to go to the YouTube video. I'm going to go to the YouTube video and pull up some of the stuff, and I'm going to go let me pull up real quickly the ones we have posted in BTR, then I'll put the other ones. Okay, here, this is the first one I posted from earlier this morning, about 7.5-8 hours ago. Okay, and this was done earlier, so let me pull this up, and then we will get it rolling now. These CMEs are critical, because what they do is that if the overall Earth's magnetic field, if the shields aren't up, if the fields aren't up and the fields aren't strong enough to deflect this stuff, it will compress the Earth like a tennis ball being squeezed. And that causes what? Pressure on the tectonic plates. They slip, they move, boom. You got major earthquakes, or earthquakes in general. So here we go.
It's 2017. We're tracking this CME. Notice it launched on the 4th. The incoming estimated time of arrival is tonight. We're going to look at that closer. Now, the one coming up is the CME from the coronal mass ejection associated with this X10 today. Notice the energized particles that are being thrown out from here. That is part of this proton electron burst that is approaching. Also have the new data on that close approach time for the CME from today. And notice the first one will be the one that we're tracking. The second one will happen very fast because all the frames are not come in, have not come in yet. And I think that's because they downpower when they see this. We'll look at the last remit again. Starting back on the 3rd, 4th, this is the one coming up that's incoming tonight, this first one. Very powerful CME. The one coming up next happens very fast. Notice the white specks and how much they increase after that flare. Again, this is the last image, 1448. All the white specks are what's called energized particles. You only see those in the strongest flares and corona mass ejections. This is coming out from the right, basically. But again, the CME is going to fully involve our planet from every angle. Amazing X-flare images. You should save this video. Save it into a file, put it on a DVD, anything you want to, guys. This is incredible. You've got like a rapid fire of flares. And if you look at it from a couple of different SBO angles, you can see how it's traveling around those magnetic rings. As it collapses, it creates a secondary flare called a Heider flare. So you've got the first flare, that collapses a Heider flare, then you have the coronal mass ejection. And the timing of all three is different. Check this out on the SDO 304 camera. It travels across and to the right along that entire magnetic field. As you know, that you could put 109 Earths across the face of this sun to stretch across 109 of our planets. Now, look at the image overload here. Again, Earth-facing SDO images. Right there, it runs completely across it. Completely collapses back into, again, the secondary Heider flare. This is very unusual. What we're dealing with right now is Venus, Mercury, and the Earth are all lined up magnetically, not in a physical straight line, but they're all connected now to not the sunspot in the bottom right that's throwing off the flares. All the drift of all three planets now are in within 6.5 degrees of the sunspot to the top. It's amazing to see that growth. Now, this is the first CME track of the coronal mass ejection associated with the X10 flare. Short, fat, wide, very powerful. Notice it on the 8th, 1200 UTC time. That's about daylight or so on the East Coast on the 8th. Mars the 7th, that's the estimated arrival time. We're going to pass through it for up to about 30 hours. Notice to the night to the 18th. What you do is take your universal time, go back about 5 or 6 hours, depending on daylight savings time, and you'll have your East Coast time. So that's telling us around noon, possibly on the night, about 30 hours or so involvement with this thing. Notice you've got three different charts. That's to give you three different angles, because it can appear to be approaching Earth, but possibly going under it or north or south of it. But in all of these graphs, you can see at this point, this is about daylight on the night, East Coast. We're fully involved from every angle. It's not passing Earth. It's very tight. It's very compact. It's very powerful. You saw those white specks that are energized particles. That lets you know how powerful this thing is, and that's when you see your destructive quakes and other events associated with this thing. Also notice these interplanetary magnetic field lines. These are how the sun is connected to the planets. Talk about this Earth-Sun's connectivity point. You're looking at the one that's being stretched out, and that's Venus's. Check that out, how it affects everything. Shaking the heavens. And of all times for this flare to come off the sun, all three magnetic fields of the Earth, Mercury, and Venus are overlapping. Notice how it has the fields here of all three pushing and bulging up. And those magnetic fields affect the planet's magnetic fields. That affects the earthquakes, the compression effect of our atmosphere during the solar minimum when our shields are weak, affects the earthquakes. And with something as powerful as this flare, We don't know what type of damage it could do to the electronics on this planet. Within an hour, I will have a full trop. Another thing, with the more eastward tract of Irma, pulling it from central Florida to skating up the east coast, that's going to stop the pressure of pushing the storm in the Gulf of Mexico back into Mexico. It's going to allow it to linger longer, grow stronger, and we won't know the path until that occurs. That will be up within an hour. It's a heads up. Be safe.
Okay, that was that one. Let me just a couple more really quickly, and then we'll talk about it. My man LA Ramon just sent me a article as well, real quickly before we get in further. Let me just show. Equifax was hacked. 149 million U.S. citizens' sensitive information could be at risk. So that's half of the U.S. population that is could be affected by that. That's basically everyone that you know. So definitely this is, in my opinion, of course it was hacked. It was because it was held by hackers. So definitely. So, wow. Things are really crazy.
You know,
crazy. Go ahead, Scotty.
That follows.
What's up, Scotty?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, that follows reports about the cybersecurity advisory board for the Trump administration resigning a couple of days ago en masse. Not all of them, but a lot of them. So, there you go right there. Is this a coincidence? They said that Donald Trump doesn't take cybersecurity serious, or his administration. So in addition to him promoting racism and white supremacy, they resigned en masse.
Yeah, this is to me, it's all a part of the whole setup. And it's really, really disgusting, but we need to really be ready and prepared for this, because things are definitely unfolding. As I thought this year, right around the end of summer, I said towards the end of summer, things are going to be sick this year, and a lot of things are in. And lo and behold, this is what the setup has always been. You could just see it coming, and here it is. So let's pull up this other video on the CME. Very, very important. Check it out.
Oh, look how bright it is. You won't believe this.
Good morning, everybody. This is Steve Olson. It is September 6th. I got a little footage from yesterday, too, that we're going to show. But this is the big story for today, is this potentially X-class flare that just erupted from the sun not more than an hour and a half ago. And as you can see, it's huge. I don't know what object this is yet. I'm pretty sure it's probably going to be Mercury or something like that. But what's noticeable about this series of CMEs is they're all heading in that same Earth-facing direction. And we'll look at the models here in just a second to see where it's going to hit. But it is definitely on its way towards the Earth. And that is the story of the day for right now. And just want to give you a heads up. When an X-class flare happens, a huge amount of energy is coming from the sun towards the Earth when it explodes like this, right? What happens is that energy pressure, there's pressure, there's energy that hits the Earth, and it causes earthquakes. I mean, the last time we had an X-class flare, Fukushima resulted in it, and that's probably the biggest threat from these flares. The second thing that can happen is some radio communications can be messed up, satellite communications can be messed up. So this is serious and something to keep an eye on, in addition to the hurricanes coming towards Florida and the West Coast and all over China. I mean, all of this stuff is starting to chaotically start to blend together to point towards what we're talking about, right? Which is that we think that there's a second solar system or a second group of planets that are pretty close to the Earth. One of the things that we talk about a lot is cloaking the planets. Yesterday we had a whole story on it. And here's a paper actually from the University of Columbia, University with Kipley telling and teaching, talking about how they can actually cloak a planet. So stop saying that this is a conspiracy. This is something that they do. They're concerned about. They don't want other people to see our planet from far away. So here's how they would propose cloaking it so that people can't see it. People from other places in the Earth, in the universe. The earthquakes continue to mount over here in this Oklahoma area and Soda Springs, Idaho area. And again, the big story today, we'll just take one last look at this. This is the huge, potentially X-class flare that just erupted from the face of the sun. And you can see that it's making its way through the inner solar system right now. So that's the big story. Let's get on to some other stuff here related to Misery Planet.
These are some pictures from today. This is Gary, got this for us, Gary Slalom.
Okay, so there was, just wanted to play that one. Then there's one more we're going to play. It's real short. And the reason why this one is really significant, because there are some things that happened since. There were actually other flares that happened today. So I just want to keep you abreast of that. Then we'll jump back into the other part of the show. But you need to know this. Two more. Here we go. One second.
September the 7th, 2017. As the RSOE map, or hazards map, has picked up a 6.1 earthquake south of the main Japanese island, 456 kilometers deep. Notice that location, Utami. And if we look at this, they're classifying as a Mercalli 7. At the bottom, hypercentrum is great depth, and the class is strong. We also, this is being reported on now on the USGS. It came in as a 5.6 or 7. Now, it has been upgraded. Usually they're downgraded, but in this case, they have upgraded it also to a 6.1. And I think this is the beginning of the impact from the incoming CMEs. And guys, we just had another X flare. Not as large as yesterday, but any X flare you have to be concerned with. You know, USGS now picking up a 6.1 also. The newer quakes are around 4.9 in the Fiji Islands. Notice you have small pressure, but you've got pressure on both sides now. The Cascadia Fault Zone. Check that out. Looking at our X-ray flux, a few minutes ago, we had an X, almost an X1 on the scale. We'll see how they bring it in. And you just had a strong M flare and a smaller M flare before that. It was three bursts, and you can see that on the SDO imaging. If you put this in the 1 minute data, you can see that about 1430 UTC time was when the GOES satellite picked up the burst. That doesn't take long when you're dealing with light energy, 8.2 minutes from the sun to our planet. Again, this was at 1726, so that could have had something to do with that X flare, but more than likely, it also could be we're starting to pick up energy from the first of the CMEs that are coming. Right now, we know of three. The reason I say that, they had estimated the CME from the 6th to be in today. I think it's coming in a little late, and that may be what we're seeing now. But here's the new X flare. Notice your timestamp on the 7th, 15th. Last image on LASCO C2 shows it. Now, if you look at the video, it's not there yet. But that circle is where the sun's at. The dark red disk is called an occultor disk. It blocks the glare of the sun so we can see outside of it. But notice the bright, highly energized particles. That is the one today. We don't have all the images from it, but it does tell us one thing. We go back to the 4th. That the one today does have a coronal mass ejection, so the X1 and another CME is on its way. Now, that's the one that we're probably experiencing now, the one that came out on the 4th. Now, look at yesterday during the X flare. We see the energy start to build. Boom, very powerful. Now, look at the energized particles that are headed for our planet. That goes on throughout the afternoon, the energy pouring out the bottom right and these highly energized particles. And as they reach the satellite, which is 9.3 million miles from Earth, but the sun is 93 million miles, look at this, how the energized particles have increased. Again, this is building up to the flare that we just had. That's the last image on it. But it does tell us there's a coronal mass ejection. This one will be not as Earth-affecting, but as they spread out in that big curve, we'll have to wait for the tracking to see how it will affect us. Now, this is the tracking from the flare from yesterday. It's supposed to hit on the 8th at 1800 hours. That would be about noon on the East Coast tomorrow. Remember, plus or minus 7 hours as far as accurate impact times. That will last for about 24 hours. Notice the 18th on the 9th or noon on the 9th as the hurricanes are approaching Florida. There's a lot going down right now. It's keeping me busy for sure. That's what I do. Notice this G3 watch. This is a solar storm or geomagnetic storm. It's from the 7th through the 9th. Today, for two more days, notice the yellow line that crosses the United States and parts of Europe. That is the most likely area of the aurora extent. Think about that, guys. That is below the Great Lakes. You can see where your states come in. It kind of comes into the United States where the equator started and then curves back up. So you may have some very good auroras depending on how clear your skies are for the next couple nights. Here is the other model. And this one's somewhat confusing. It may be because the different energy inputs that are going into the modeling. But this is actually showing the timing from the one on the 6th. And the smaller CME in the back is the one coming from the X10 flare yesterday. Check that out. But also notice that on your radial velocity or solar wind speed, it peaks when the second one hits, not when the first one hits. When the first one hits on the 7th, you can see a slight rise in that green bar on the bottom chart that says Earth. That's radial velocity or solar wind speed, and you see it bumping up close to 700 kilometers per second. That's very fast. And this would have, if it was modeled correctly, in my opinion, the second wave would be showing much larger than the one that's starting to come in now. But again, we're beginning the earthquakes that I warned about from the 6th, from the 4th. And remember, what's not showing is the CME that just left the sun. So as we track these, and one thing about it is, normally you don't get two CMEs on the same model. A lot of times they'll just go to a completely new model. And if you haven't recorded the older model for the first CME, you kind of lost that information. But everyone's watching this. I'll have updates on it, especially earthquake updates, and all of those links, earthquake, hurricane, solar information.
Okay, so that was the last one I wanted to play. So the reason why I wanted to play these, because these are some things that I think is very, very crucially important for us to be aware of and to have an idea of what their impact could be. The sun is very, very critical to our overall existence. Without the sun, there's no physical existence for you nor I in the form that we are in right now, and many others as well. And the sun has more direct cause and reaction for everything. They talk about global warming. Forget about it. There is no man. There's not enough people on this planet or cows to create methane gas or people to fart and to disturb the overall balance of the environment and everything else. This is much, much, much larger than the smallness of the individuals here. These are all lies. Now, could it be we could be going into a solar minimum cycle, which means it's going to bring on an ice age, okay? And a solar minimum happens when the sun's activities, these flares and everything else, slow down, which means the sun becomes a little less active. Just for it being just a little less active, it drastically affects your quality of life standard of living by the overall temperature. That's where you could have an ice age. There's so many things that's going on now. Just because Soho and the so-called officials put up these flares and everything else, do I believe them? Absolutely not. Why? Because these aren't instruments that we put together, that we calibrated, and they're not serving the agenda that we set forth. It's used by somebody else. Now, so many different things that are happening. Just wanted you to know. Be aware. So the CME could strike tomorrow. What could it do? Worst case it could do, you have a Clarington event. Clarington event was an event that happened in the 1900s where all of the power was knocked out. Luckily, they didn't have much power in the world. They just started using power, but all the telegraphs throughout the country started blowing up, catching fire from the CME. Exact same thing can happen. You can have massive blackouts on the sun side of the strike of the CME, which will be Eastern Standard Time in the so-called untied states of America, and then the lights completely go out. It will act as just as if a EMP, because think about it, the sun completely can short you out. It's an electrical entity. And it shorts out the power. All power is gone. You are automatically gone from the digital age, the age, iPhone, I this, I that, to back to the Stone Ages, where you have no energy that's artificially created by man, unless those devices are protected in the Faraday cage. So for those of you that have sensitive materials, and you know what I mean by that, you should already know to activate your Faraday cages and put them up. For those of you that don't know, find out on YouTube what that is and how you can protect your devices. Now, this could actually have a CME that takes everything out. Not saying it will. I'm not saying that it won't. It definitely can happen, because at some point in some time, it is going to happen. And why not today? Why not tomorrow when this X flare hits? Because it's one of the largest. It's actually the largest X flare that I've ever seen that was Earth-facing. A couple of years ago, we had an even larger X flare, but thank goodness it was not pointed at the Earth. So how the Earth responds to it, if it's sincere, is going to be critical. If it takes all the lights out, ladies and gentlemen, yo-yo, yo-yo, yo-yo. You are on your own. You're completely going to be on your own. If it does happen, there are some things that you're going to need to start doing, and you would have to start doing them very, very relatively quickly. Tomorrow. If the lights go out, be mindful of it and know what it is. If the lights happen to go out tomorrow, know that they're not coming back on. Don't spaz, don't cry, don't get upset. That's not going to that doesn't solve anything. Start taking the appropriate actions. If they go out tomorrow, they're not coming back on. Not coming back on for a very long time. And I'm not talking about a day or two or a week. It could be months. Completely months. Even a year. Because guess where all the infrastructure is to rebuild? It's in China. You think China would sell that infrastructural pieces to the U.S.? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So know that. Another thing that it can do, for those of you who are in seismic zones or on fault lines, they could be actually engaged tomorrow. CMEs are extreme. The sun is extremely powerful. And this CME was huge. When I saw it, my mouth just dropped. And I said one thing. Now, it can also put pressure on Yellowstone to trigger Yellowstone. If that happens, once again, don't cry. Don't get upset. Have a positive attitude to the new reality that your whole world has changed and is not going back to where it was before. So make your overall inroads from there. Your overall physical condition may definitely change. You may take on a new form because you've made the great transformation, which is cool and which is okay. I don't know. It could happen. If it does, you can't stop it. If it does happen, you can only respond to it, have an appropriate response to it. So those are some of the things that could happen on the CME. This is no different than a country setting off a nuclear device over the upper atmosphere and short circuits everything. Kaput, gone. So just wanted to make that known to you all, and that possibility is definitely there. Now, if you have any questions or comments that you would like to make, definitely give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, hit **. We'll see you in queue, and we'll bring you up. So now, with all of this stuff, doesn't, you know, we don't have to get upset. We don't need to get scared and everything else. It's, hey, you're going to have to respond to it and have an appropriate adult-like mature response to it all. While everybody else is going to be losing their mind and going crazy if this does happen, that doesn't mean that you need to follow them. It's not going to help. So this is some of the things that we wanted to prepare you for, and I hope it doesn't happen. I'm not ready for it. I don't necessarily want it. I want to leave the system on my terms. I don't want the terms to be determined for me, but I'm a realistic person. That possibility is very, very strong. And if it's not going to happen now, it's probably going to happen sometime in the future. I don't know if I'll be here in the physical form or not, but it will happen. It has happened in the past. It's going to happen again. So if the lights go out tomorrow, no, they're not coming back on. Major earthquake zones, stand by. Yellowstone, whoo, stand by. Yellowstone has been active for the past, since the summer, really since the beginning of this year. So who knows? Could it be an a celestial body that's entering closer in our solar system, which is already in? Yes, absolutely, it could be. It may not be. They could be lying about that. But what you do is very, very important. And where you are is going to be very, very important. Very, very significant. So that's what's up with the CME, and I've always thought that this was one of the greatest real threats. By them lying and cutting out the light, saying it was a CME or an actual CME happening. So, never scared, always prepared is who we are and what we do. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025. Okay? So, CMEs are very, very critical. Now, also, we already know we've been hearing about the hurricane and everything else. Listen, everyone. Be prepared for this, even if you're not in Florida. If these hurricanes continues to take out the commerce pathways, the commerce thoroughfares, the commerce way, commerce lines, this is going to adversely affect everyone here. Doesn't matter if you're in Florida or not. Get gas. Have your vehicles gas. Have provisions. Because if this one takes out the port of Miami, then another one takes out in South Carolina or somewhere else. Do you realize what that means for us all? Commerce is going to be majorly affected. Then the other storm, what's it going to do? Is it going to go into Mexico or get back into the Gulf and just continue to swirl there and just get bigger and bigger because of the warm waters? And then where does it go from there? Who knows? Who knows? But either way, you need to be to have a realistic, appropriate response. Yes, you can ignore it, but you can never ignore the reality of the consequences of what you ignored. Can't do it. So doesn't matter where you are. I don't care if you're in Maine. I don't care if you're in if you're up in North Dakota. All of this stuff can have a very meaningful adverse response, let alone the geopolitical destable position that everything is in, particularly the U.S. The U.S. is done. This is only a part of it. They said that they wanted to, the debt ceiling, they're going to extend the debt ceiling. They had no choice. Why do you extend debt ceilings? Because you broke. Cash broke. And that really doesn't mean that the government is, ladies and gentlemen. That means you are. That means you are. And what we're going to be seeing is going to be the same play that's been played out before in all demise of empires. I would like to put it this way. It's like you being on a boat out to sea. Water, water everywhere, nothing to drink. You can't drink seawater. It will kill you. Well, it's going to be so much, it's going to be cash, cash everywhere, nothing to trade for it. You're going to have plenty of cash. If you ever wanted to know what it was like to hit the lottery, you're all about to hit it. We're all about to hit it, but it will not buy a darn thing. Cash, cash everywhere with nothing to exchange for, because no one will exchange for it in the way that you have grown accustomed to it. Basically, you will not be being paid anymore. Your $20 bill will not be enough for a pack of gum. You'll need 25 for a pack of gum. Gas. Who owns the major refineries? Saudi Arabia does. What are they going to do? They're going to use those refineries to do what? Feed the rest of the world. Oh, don't give me that. The U.S. is the greatest country. They'll just take it back from them. How are you going to take it back from them when you don't have a strong hand anymore? The whole setup with everything, from the hacking to the cyber breaches, everything is in place. Guess what they're going to probably say? Who hacked Equifax? Or what was it? Expedia, I believe it was. Yeah, it was Expedia. L.A. Ramon sent me it was Expedia. They're probably going to say it was either North Korea or Iran. And that's an act of war. Let me ask you all something. I want you to really think about this. How stupid this whole thing is that we've been taught. How unbalanced this whole thing has been taught. Mel, hit me up, bro. I saw that you called. I was on air. Couldn't do it. Let me show you how stupid this is. So, the U.S. has nuclear weapons. And because they have nuclear weapons, there was global positioning an opportunity that they are able to seize, control, and create that other countries that don't have nuclear weapons aren't able to do. They have a different leverage than those other countries. But the U.S. wants to prevent any other country from getting nuclear weapons. And they would say that those countries getting nuclear weapons is an act of aggression. No, you having them, trying to prevent somebody else immediately once you try to sanction somebody or tell somebody they can't have nuclear weapons, you've just committed an act of war against them because you don't want them to have something that they can use as an offensive or a defensive weapon the same way that you have. So at some point, at some position, we're going to have to stop buying these lies that the system throws at us because it's unbalanced. This is why we're so unbalanced. This is why the mental illness is so great. This is why there's no equilibrium in our thoughts, in our direction, in our desires. We've been shuffled. And what makes it so bad? We shake and shuffle ourselves so the system doesn't have to do it. But for all of you that listen to Tando Radio Show, we've been talking about a lot of this in bringing these different situations and different scenarios for you to start to think on your own, for you to be self-determining and sovereign. It is a lonely, lonely place to do that. It is a very beneficial place when you can align yourself with other individuals that resonate the way that you do. That is a real gift. I would say to you all, from where we're going, don't try to convince anyone. Do not try to get everyone to be the overall ant in cooperation to get to where you need to go. You do it with just those that resonate with you, because that's the only thing you can do, and that's the only thing that matters. Yes, there will be some family members, some friends that you dearly love that will not see things the way you do nor perceive it the way you do. That's their up to them. That's their prerogative. That's their execution of free will. Don't try to impose on that. Give them the overall thought. Let them make the decision for themselves. Don't try to make anyone do anything, or else you will find yourself to being the overall purveyor of the very system of our demise. Be wise. You're not new to this. There's nothing that is going to happen that you can't handle, regardless of how painful, inconveniencing, or troubling it may be. There's a reason why something told you that something was wrong. It wasn't that something that told you that something was wrong. It was you that was telling you to protect yourselves at all times and be ready to fight. It wasn't me. It wasn't Tando Radio Show. It wasn't any of our guests. It wasn't anybody that was. It was you. It was your free will. And you're going to really have to depend on that, regardless of what happens. Everything tomorrow could be like nothing ever happened, because that's what the system does. And in actuality, that's when they are at their most active, malevolent agenda. When you think everything is fine, it's not these instances. This is them responding out of fear. They want to maintain control because they feel their grip loosening. But I would say to you, respect what has been established, but let it never, ever become a part of your constitution. It is a deviant system, and it is much more influential than what we've been shown or what we've come to know. But it is that because of how great and relentless the human spirit is. The full potential of the human spirit is at your fingertips, your potential. Create what it is that you want to live in. An excuse means that you really don't want to give the energy to solve. We have no problems. We only have conditions that require a solution. Make no excuses. They save nothing. Excuses is what the system has taught us so that we will remain paralyzed. So, this is where we are. This is some of the things that we're going to have to contend with. And in the meantime, depending on how things shape up, be ready for the best and worst of people to come out in all forms and fashions. You're going to have to be able to discern which one is approaching you. And you're going to have to be able to govern which one you project. Who are you going to be? Who are you going to be? So, be aware of this hurricane, these hurricanes. Hopefully it doesn't do. I just think it's so strange that these hurricanes take on a direction as if they're being steered. instead of taking a natural line. I just don't get how it can weave in between the islands. Has it done it before? Pretty sure it has. Could that mean that they've been steering storms or creating storms for? Yes. Where did hurricanes come from? You don't know. You had to wait till somebody tell you where they came from. But your discerning spirit knows everything that you need to know. That's what truly, truly needs to be developed. The solutions to everything is within your decision making. And I would say, don't follow a leader. Lead the way. Lead the way for you and for those that resonate with you. And leading means, to me, not to have a leash put on you that you actually do what you're told. Leading to me means this, is that you realize the overall importance of the collective good. And you're willing to do whatever it needs to be done to meet the problems that arise with the appropriate solution at that a reasonable amount of time. Can't tell you what to do. Can't tell you what to do if you're in Florida. Can't tell you what to do if you're in Houston. Can't tell you. We laid out many shows on how to prepare. You could have did all of those things in one swoop moment, boom, all of that was taken in the flood. But the most important thing that should have been established is your consonance, is your consistency to be sovereign and self-determined, and your commitment to that. There you'll be able to find the gems among the stones. What's going to happen? It's going to be a great ride. It's going to be a great opportunity for you all and for all of us to grow in a way that we otherwise may have not grown because of the artificial interference that has been put into place. This is artificial just as well, but we can have a natural response to it all. Politicians are liars. The system of governance is a system of enslavement that is being perpetuated by a hidden hand. What is true is the ecosystem. Everything else is unnatural. There's no such thing as being civil without being murderous. There's no such thing about being filled with manners, man's civil manners, without being barbaric. Sounds good. Written well, but the deeds never ever match. So, many things that you're ready for, that you're prepared for. Black Talk Radio Network may not be on tomorrow. Many things may not be on tomorrow. Your cell phone may not be on tomorrow. If it is, we'll continue going forth in our self-determination in sovereign ways. If it isn't, we'll continue going forth in our self-determining in our sovereign ways. Either way, you made it. Now, let's be prosperous in it. So, getting ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, you have a question or comment, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Hit star, we'll see you in queue. My man, Brother Braggs, we're going to go to Brother Braggs when we come out of the commercial break. But if you have a question or comment at any time, definitely jump in. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
three? Here.
Three. No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from L.A. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, hit **. I'm not on the board, so I won't be able to see you in queue, because you know on Thursdays I travel. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510, and then just say, excuse me. We will hear you and definitely will bring you up. If you have any questions or comments that you would like to make known or express, we'd love to hear from you all. This is the opportunity to do that, and give us a call. So what we're going to do, Brother Braggs, you there? Where are you going?
Hello, hello.
Brother Braggs.
What's up, what's up? Peace, peace.
Peace, peace, Brother Braggs. How you doing?
I'm chilling, man. Just sitting back. So, good show, man. You said many things, so I don't have to even regress because you covered all of this and so much more. And check this out. Everything that we see, it is a based on history. Believe everything we're seeing right now is based on history. This is in the Georgia Guidestones. All this stuff, man. You know, I don't know if y'all are familiar with the Georgia Guidestones. Then you got Tennessee, you know. But what I want to talk about is history, because I be tripping. I've been chasing kings, as I always tell Dave. I didn't bring my notebook, but I got something else. But I like to reference so that people can go back and follow what I'm saying. I don't want them to think I'm blowing smoke by no means. And
right.
This is what I'm reading from. It's The Negro in Politics. And it's the author's Norman P. Andrews. And this is for educational purpose only. Plus the Journal of Negro History, Volume 5, Number 4, October 1920, page 420 to 436. And for the study of African-American life. I just wanted to, because see, people don't know. After in the Reconstruction, we had full votes in the South. And basically what happened was that slave owners now, they were basically paupers because of the war. So they still felt that they were aristocrats, but they didn't have the wealth anymore. So that because we had the full vote and we had the numbers in the South. Now, understand what I'm saying. Melanated people that look like you and I, and also poor whites. We had the numbers in the South, predominantly melanated people, and we voted ourselves in office, so we ran office. Now, this article, the information I just read to you, this is it's called a treaty on the Negroes and Politics since the emancipation of the race may be divided into three periods, that of the Reconstruction when the Negroes in connection within sympathetic whites control the Southern states. This is what I say. When the Negroes in connection with the interlopers and sympathetic whites controlled Southern states, the one of repression following the restoration of racial whites to power, and the new day when the Negro counts as a figure in politics as a result of his work in the community and his ability to render the parties and the government valuable service. Now, I want to mention Sumner in here and Stevens. And the echoes of the Civil War were dying away. I'm just going to read it verbatim because what I like to do is stick to the script. I don't like none of my words in there. So that way you get the full impact of what they're saying. While the echoes of the Civil War were dying away, the South attempted to reduce the Negro to a position of peonage by the passage of the Black Codes. Many Northern men, led by Sumner and Stevens, who at first tried to secure the cooperation of the best whites, became indignant because of this attitude of the South and were reduced to the necessity of forcing Negro suffrage upon the South at the point of a bayonet. believing that the only way to ensure the future welfare of the Negro was to safeguard it by giving him the ballot under the protection of these military governments, the Negroes and certain more or less fortunate whites gained political control. Southern white men, weary and disgusted because of the outcome of their attempts at secession, maintained an attitude of sullenness and indifference toward the new regime, and accordingly offered at very little opposition to the Negro control of politics. The Negroes, upon their securing the right of suffrage, however, turned at once to their former masters for political leadership. But the majority of these Southern gentlemen refused to lower their dignity by political association with the Negroes. The few Southern gentlemen who did affiliate with the Negroes were dubbed scallywags by their former friends and cast out of Southern society. The Negroes were then forced, because of the lack of cooperation on the part of the Southern whites, to accept the leadership of certain Northern men who came south for the sole purpose of personal gain and exploitation. These men were in some cases of an extremely low order and were in a large measure responsible for the for the corruption of Reconstruction days. Let me read that, because I messed that up. These men were in some cases of an extremely low order and were in a large measure responsible for the corruption of Reconstruction days. They were contemporarily called carpetbaggers by the Southern whites because they were so poor they could carry all their possessions in a carpet bag. Some of these white men were conscientious, however, and served these states honorably. Most Negroes, therefore, were under the leadership of these three elements: Southern men who were regarded by their neighbors as men of lowest possible order, unscrupulous adventurers from the North, and some intelligent members of their own race, like B.K. Bruce, John R. Lynch, R.B. Elliott, and John M. Langston. These ill-assorted group of politicians reconstructed the Southern states. Now listen to this. This ill-assorted group of politicians reconstructed the Southern states. The wisdom of this policy has been widely questioned from the point of view of the most white men studying Reconstruction history, with the effort to make the Negro a factor in politics was a failure. The elimination of the Negro from politics was just, and the raise of the Negro to political power even today is viewed with alarm. The opinions, the biased historians in this field will be interesting. Several writers refer to the Negro carpetbag movement as an effort to found commonwealth upon the vote of an ignorant Negro electorate, as working an injustice both to the whites and the blacks, and that it made the South solidly democratic. J.G.D.R. Hamilton, exaggerating the actual faces of Reconstruction in the Southern Commonwealth, which were never fully controlled by the Negroes, speaks of the workers having left as a legacy, a protest against anything that might threaten a repetition of the past, when selfish politicians backed up by federal government for party purposes attempted to Africanize the state and deprive the people through misrule and oppression of most that life held dear. John W. Burgess calls the effort an extravagant humanitarianism, which had developed in the minds of Reconstruction leaders to the point of justifying not only the political equality of the races, but political superiority, at least in the loyalty to the Union, the Constitution, and the Republican government of the uncivilized Negroes of the South. Burgess sees justice in subjecting the inferior to the superior class, but none in subjecting the superior to the inferior. Of these radical utterances, historians need but take little heed. Notice, they are of value here for the reason that they show the lack of scientific Reconstruction history. No intelligent man who lived through this stormy period or who has read documents bearing on its history contend that these commonwealths were Africanized merely because the Negroes, along with the formerly disenfranchised and ignorant poor whites, were given the right of suffrage. It will be difficult to prove that the majority of poor whites in the South were at this time sufficiently intelligent and experienced in statecraft to give those commonwealths as much better government than that administered by the Negroes and the carpetbaggers, for the South had been ruled by an aristocratic families, most of whom, because of participation in the Civil War could not, on the cessation of the hostilities, given the reins of government. A few who had not had any such connection with the Confederacy hauntingly refused to cooperate with the Negroes in the reconstruction of these governments, although they were persistently invited by the Negroes, who were thus advised by Thaddeus Stevens and Charles Sumner, who showed foresight in trying to secure the cooperation of the best white man element in the South. These statesmen, however, are generally slandered by uninformed writers who contend that Sumner and Stevens did not thus proceed. The Negroes not only sought the leadership of the whites, but showed unusual humanness towards their poverty-stricken former masters by passing, as they did in the South Carolina, stay laws to postpone the payment of their many war debts secured by mortgages on their property. Statistics show, however, that with the exception of South Carolina and Mississippi, no state, not even any department of a state government, was ever dominated altogether by Negroes. The Negro never wanted and never had complete control in the southern state. The most important office was generally held by white men. Only two Negroes ever served in the United States Senate, Hiram R. Revels and B.K. Bruce, and only 20 ever became representatives in the House, and all of these did not serve at the same time, although some of them were elected for more than one term. The charge that the men who were elected to office by the Negroes were always of the most debased and degenerate type is untrue, because of the refusal of the Southern aristocracy to cooperate with them. However, the Negroes were forced to elect men such as they were able to secure. Numerous promising and respectable whites who were elected to office by the Negroes became corrupt and unprincipled on account of the treatment tended them by the aristocratic whites. From among the Negroes themselves, the very best available were chosen to hold offices. Among those were former slaves who had been made trustworthy servants of their masters and free Negroes. Received some education. Well, some of these Negroes. I'm very bad.
No. Finish, Brother Brad, because it's just too important. Go ahead.
All right.
Because you can see this playing out right now.
Yep. This has all got something to do with that. Some of these Negroes served in the official capacity with honor and credit. A number of them were also respected by certain fair-minded Southern whites. Numerous examples of the high regard which the whites of certain communities have for the Negro leaders can be cited. Samuel J. Lee of Charleston, South Carolina, was considered by his white contemporaries as one of the best criminal lawyers which the state had produced. At his death, all local courts were declared adjourned and the entire city paid him homage. The late Bishop Isaac Clinton served as treasurer of Orangeburg, South Carolina for 8 years. Like Mr. Lee, he was held in high esteem by his white neighbors, and upon the occasion of his funeral, the business of the community was suspended as a mark of respect to his memory. In certain communities, as in the South Carolina, some Negroes were retained as office holders for a number of years after the supremacy of the Democratic Party was assured. In Georgetown, South Carolina, Mr. George Harriet was superintendent of education for the county for years under the Democratic Party. Beaufort, South Carolina, retained Negroes as sheriffs and school officials until a few years ago. J.T. White, Commissioner of Public Works and Internal Improvements in the state of Arkansas, M.W. Gibbs, Municipal Judge in Little Rock, and J.C. Corbin, State Superintendent of Schools in the same state, had records equally as credible. The same may be said for F.L. Cardoza, the State Treasurer of South Carolina, Richard T. Greener, professor in the University of that Commonwealth, Oscar Dunn, Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana, and P.B.S. Pinchback, Acting Governor of that state. The record of Duvalette, according to Dr. Woodson, should receive special attention in contradiction to the rule of stealing from the public treasury. This man, who served as treasurer of the state of Louisiana even after the other departments of the government had been taken from the Negroes, inasmuch as the term of service as a treasurer was 6 years rather than four, was investigated with a view to find it as some act of misuse of public funds that he might be impeached and thrown out of office. The committee of which E.D. White, now Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, was chairman, reported after much deliberation that the booklet's funds had been honestly handled and that there was no grounds on which proceedings against him could be instituted. Despite the above-mentioned instances of commendable Negro officials, however, the majority of the Negro functionaries were incompetent, and as a result of these, governments could but collapse. The charge of corruption laid at the door of the Negro carpetbagger governments is to a large extent true. The corruption resulted largely from the work of the interlopers from the North and the scallywags using the Negroes to reach their own personal ends. In some of this corruption, however, the Negro was an apt scholar and freely participated. The Negroes were not as a whole prepared for the political privileges which were vouchsafed to them, and they were a large extent under the wrong sort of leadership. It is equally true, however, that governments were corrupt throughout the United States at this period. The Reconstruction period was one of corruption, and if the Negro government were of a lower order than a few others, they were not far out of the accord with the times. The white people will assume control of the government. Now, listen to this. Man, this is when it gets good. The white people will assume control of the government on overthrowing the Reconstruction regime instituted in several states, a rule of corruption surpassing even that of their predecessors, coming back into office like angry persons who had been exposed. Old atmosphere of an exile, the radical whites filled their purses from the coffers of the public treasury and defaulted to the amount of thousands of dollars which the taxpayers had to replace in the years thereafter. The disgraces of the Reconstruction, therefore, have been exaggeratedly funded by the South for the same purpose that it proclaims the widespread false charge of rape of the present day to justify the persecution of the Negro for being unusually criminal. The Negro was finally driven from another politics through violence and fraud. The chief agent of Southern whites in accomplishing this was the secret organization known as the Ku Klux Klan. This organization mob killed off or drove the leading carpetbaggers out of the South and intimidated Negroes into submission by perpetuating numerous outrages upon them. After the whites regained control of the government through their agents of the terror, the political ascendancy of the Negro was at end. The unscrupulous Northern friends of the Negro, having discovered that they could no longer successfully exploit them, therefore abandoned them in the midst of their calamity. The whites proceeded to solidify the Democratic Party and to eliminate the Negro entirely from politics in the South. Politically, however, the Reconstruction was in several respects a success. In effect, in the first place, the reconstructed governments are democratic, lifting the standard that the backward commonwealths of the South must still struggle for years to reach. In this social upheaval, the poor white man was politically emancipated by receiving the boon of suffrage, theretofore restricted to persons owning property. Now listen to what they're saying now. In this social upheaval, the poor white man, gotta say that again.
Yep.
In this social upheaval, the poor white man was politically emancipated by receiving the boon of suffrage, therefore restricted to persons owning property and given a free and open door to office holding, which under the old regime had been restricted to the few aristocrats dominating the country and the state governments. These Negroes gave the South its improved judicial system and did their work so well in framing some of the constitutions that many of them, with the exception of clauses antagonistic to the Negro, remained it as they were for many years. Although the Democrats got control of the state in 1877, the Constitution of South Carolina of 1868 was not changed materially until 1893. The Negro, as a factor in Reconstruction, moreover, instituted education at the expense of the public through the establishment of public schools with well-equipped buildings and prepared teachers. They removed from the system the stigma formerly attached to persons educating their children at public expense. They therefore made education a foundation upon which real democracy must build. It is only short sightedness on the part of writers to infer that because the Negro was in a few years thereafter deprived of the ballot, that the good work which was done during the years that they were permitted to participate in the affairs of these states could be so easily overthrown, especially so when this progressive part of the program of the Reconstructed government, which the restored whites at the first abandoned has later taken up and carried out, although weakened by the reaction of the North against the method employed by politicians in maintaining the Reconstructed government at the South, which moved President Hayes to withdraw the troops from the area. The Negroes were still of some concern to the Republicans. To retain their support, the Republicans often spoke of forcing upon the South the force bill to guarantee fair elections, but rather abandoned the Negro to the fate of working out his own salvation with his oppressors. In all of the campaign up to 1888, there was an unusual wavering of the bloody campaign, I'm sorry, the bloody shirt, to array the Negro against the South, of urging the Negro to vote the Republican ticket to pay the debt he owed the party for his freedom, hypocritically threatening also to undo many of the things which had been done to the Negro since Reconstruction. There was no sincerity. These vote-getting declarations, however, and the Negro and the South remained politically doomed. Nothing would have better bring out this treatment of the Negro by the Republican Party than a study of the consideration given to race in the various platforms of the party following the Civil War. The Republicans in the convention of 1868 declared themselves in sympathy with all oppressed peoples struggling for their rights and recognized the principles laid down in the Declaration of Independence as the true foundation of democratic government. The same year, however, the Democratic Party recognized the question of slavery and secession as having been settled, but denounced Negro supremacy. Now, I don't know if you're really getting the gist of this. We had the free vote. We control the government. They came to the government with force of arms, overthrew the government. So everything from there forth is illegal. I don't know if you're following me.
Yes.
We talked about this, and I was tripping because I told Dave, I said, man, I read this a long time ago when I was a young man, and I've been trying to find it for years, and I found it.
Brother Bragg, you know what's so powerful about this is that you're seeing that exact same agenda playing out. Think of the word Reconstruction. What does Reconstruction mean? Reconstruction means that you want to take away... Exactly. You want to break up what the great creator has instituted and then reconstruct your overall agenda in it. That's what it was really always about. They made so many of us think, and what do? You always displace the people from the land. Why do you displace people from their land? Because then you displace them from their ability to be sovereign and self-determining. Now they will be, what will they have to be? Dependent. Dependent on who? Dependent on those that have destroyed their overall prosperity. It's the same play over and over and over again. What is it that we have right now, Brother Braggs? We have a government, a retrobate government, one that has conquered by corrupt means.
I watched all of these history programs, Dave, and these boys never, ever mentioned this. They never mentioned that we control the government. And it's so covered. I'm telling you, I read this like, man, 25 years.
Wait, hold on, Brother Bragg. Here's the key to that whole thing. If you control the seat of government, why? That's because you are what? Indigenous to where you govern.
Exactly.
You didn't come here by the lie of the Reconstruction. Right, go ahead, Brother Bragg.
We was the seat of power in the South. It's the indigenous nations all through the South. All through the South, up through the Californias. Matter of fact, the whole North America was indigenous nations. People that look like you and I. Start checking Indian Wars now. You're going to start following what I'm telling you. Because, man, look, I'm gifted in the fact that ancestors give me this stuff. Please, build on it. Because it's way much more. Like 1877, all these dates are pertinent. You know what I'm saying? 1878, but man, Washington D.C. creation. Listen to what I'm saying,
right.
Man. Just a whole bunch of stuff.
The reconstruction of what? Your overall governance, and it's so important because that is happening right now. Think about when you hear the word.
I got a simple word for you, Dave.
Of a look.
I got a simple.
Go ahead, Scotty, what'd you say?
I got a simple word for you. Just one word to reconstruct slavery.
Right. That's it right there, Scotty. That is it. To continuously reconstruct slavery, which is happening now.
You got to remember, everybody was enslaved. See, Pete Gang, these white folks, these poor white folks, they was enslaved too. Remember, we're under the laws of the kings. They brought that from over there with them over here. That's what constricted the land, because they came over here and they brought all of that feudal system with them. Came in and enslaved you on your own land. Educational system taught you you was not from this land. This is all the games they've been playing with you. Never knew that you controlled the government. But it was overthrown by a confederacy. And then they pulled the military out and left you hanging. So that everything that you fought for was for nothing. So then they got to sit down and rewrite the 13th Amendment to keep slavery. Slavery never ended. Matter of fact, it's in full effect as we speak in more ways than you ever know. Every last one of us is enslaved. I ain't gonna even go into that. That's another comment.
No, you're absolutely right. Pull out a dollar.
I'm talking about white and black. I'm talking about every last one of us is enslaved.
Right, right. Pull out a dollar bill. That is your overall receipt of enslavement. And this is so important. And This is what was the overall agenda, which is happening now. They're displacing people, because when you displace people, what do you do? What do you do? You have them become refugees. And when they become refugees, what do they become? The ward of the state. The state will determine what you will be able to do, where you will be able to go. What new routes will you set somewhere else? This is why everything that we see is a play from the past before, because it works so well.
And Dave, you got a lot.
Displace many people.
You got a lot of people on the board. You got two other people on the board. Let's take an early break, and then you could introduce those calls. As
definitely,
you see.
We'll come back to them.
All right.
Cool, cool. Okay, everyone, listen. Get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Media Project launched the digital radio platform Black Talk Radio Network, the first such platform created to serve the black community specifically. Black Talk Radio Network has grown with a variety of radio hosts, digital radio stations, and podcasters. Web analytics say Black Talk Radio, the platform, has an online reach that ranks it among the top independent black media platforms in the world. All of this is possible because of financial contributions to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. If you love the work we do and the voices and perspectives we bring to you every day, make a donation today to ensure that Black Talk Radio is here in the future. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, hit **. We're on here with my man, Brother Braggs. We got a couple of callers in queue. Scotty, if you would, just pick out the one that you want to go to first, because I can't see the board. If you would, Scotty, if you could. If not, that's okay. One of the callers that's there, someone say something real quickly, and the first voice, and then one person concede to the other, and then we'll go to that individual right after. So if there's a caller that's on the board, you have a question, a comment that you want to be made known, go ahead and let yourself be heard.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Peace, Father Dave, Thomas, New York.
What's up, brother? Thomas from New York. What's up, brother? Peace.
Not much, man. I called in yesterday to Brother Davis' show. I had an article for you. Man, that was a great read by Brother Bragg there. I have some things that I think that actually happened, but I won't get into all of that. I just think that if you look up, if you get the 1828 Webster's, Noah Webster Dictionary, the first American dictionary, and you look up a battle.
Yes, sir. If you look up what a battle is, and they have two different things called a battle. You have a battle, like in war, and then you have a battle, which is in court, which is a court fight.
Yes.
And you will find that every battle that took place in the Civil War was really a court fight. I will even go on a limb to say that possibly some of those battles were never physical battles. They were all played out in court. The Battle of Bunker Hill, mm-hmm, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You'll find the court case that is associated with that battle, and you'll see that a lot of this history, I think, has been distorted, giving people a false history of pride, you know, Southern pride that never existed, you know, this mm-hmm. antebellum, everyone on the plantation all happy, the type of pride, and you know, you guys were just sitting there being served by the nigga, you know, like, nah, it wasn't like that, but they wanted to push that narrative, and I think that's why we had the whole Civil War thing. If you look at the Civil War, and it is funny to me, and it always kind of struck me as odd, is that the slaves were so-called emancipated here, but every other Caribbean country, South American country, every other place where the Europeans had slaves around that same time, either 5 years before or after the Civil War, freed their slaves as well. So why did all the European nations all come to the same accord at the same time? And then you'll find the reason, you know, for the Civil War, which was they were creating this this global system of banking, this international, white international system of banking. And if one country had slaves, and I don't, and I don't want to do business with you, you got people working for you that you're not paying, you know, it's not fair competition. So therefore, they had to eliminate that globally. So I think that's why...
Everybody was slaves. Everybody was slaves. The Chinese came as slaves. Moors came as slaves. The Moors from Murrieta. Greeks came as slaves. Greeks came as mercenaries. They brought mercenaries from Persia over here. Listen, they moved people all around this place, man. That's what you got to understand. They say the sun never sets on the British Isles, right? That's because they went everywhere to conquer. So I don't know if you know you went wrong. If you know you went wrong, you know you under that bank. That's another conversation. I really don't like to digress and go there. But I want to say on this right now about this government. Because, see, we got to understand what you see happening right now, they're losing control. People are finding out that everything is not what it seems to be, and that they've been operating out of the District of Columbia, out of a corporation. This is a republic. Remember what the article was saying. We the people set up the Constitution. Did you hear what I read?
Yeah.
So they were referring to us in that Constitution. But remember what they did once they took over. They rewrote the white supremacy. They instituted the black codes. They made you an inferior. They made you a minor. They took away your civil rights.
Exactly. Brother Bragg, real quick, and one thing I want to say with Thomas is so important. I'm glad Thomas called in on that. When he talked about the courts, that there's a court tied to all of the battles. Yes.
He right in
because
he
as
in
you already... Exactly, as you already know, go into every court and what do you see? The battle flag, right? You'll see the battle flag. Here's the significance. The courtroom is significant because of the contract. Court is only about the maritime instituting the contract. That's why every judge will say, let me see the contract. And every contract holds the judge bound by what was already agreed upon in contract. And what Thomas was saying is further substantiated by when he said that all of the European ones wanted to release their slaves because of it was the organization that they were building. That is known as the foundation. When you establish a foundation, you can't do business with anyone else that doesn't have a foundation. And that foundation is legitimized by battle in court, where you never have to go to court. The court serves you. And Thomas, I'm so glad you called in about that, because that is so significant. And what we continue to see today, outside of the illusion and the mirage, what is really happening here is that there has been a conglomerate of agreements that don't serve humanity. It serves the few, the founders, the foundation. This is why the Constitution was not, you don't apply to the Constitution, you have no constitutional right. That's a farce and a lie that we play on, and we continue to get the same outcome because we are not contracted by this foundation. Man, I'm so glad, Thomas. And I wish Thomas would be able to be here. And there's another caller. Caller that's there, too. Hold on one second, Brother Brad. Then we're going to go back. Go ahead, Brother Brad. Yeah. Then we'll go to the other caller that's there.
I was just saying what he was saying, contracts and commerce is the same thing. Everything is commerce and everything is contracts. It's just hand in hand, whether you pay attention or not. You know what? The other part of that, remember, at the same time, they just took over all the commerce. They just took over. They just secured the commerce here in America. They're trying to get rights with other countries, get favored nation status, and they can control the commerce. They have a problem with barbary pirates. That's where the Treaty of Friendship comes in with Morocco. You got to look. All this is happening at the same time. Remember, these people went all around the world, and they taken over at one time. This was a takeover.
And you got to displace people and move them off their land, move them off of their familiarity, their sustainability. You remove them off of their sustainability, they become dependent on you. There's another caller that said, can I be heard? Let's go to that individual that was there. Who was that?
I still have an article for you.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, greetings. This is Ross. How y'all doing?
Ross, what's going on? Go ahead, Roz, and then Thomas, we'll come back with you said you had an article. Go ahead, Roz.
Okay, we're going to have to talk after the show, too, but first I wanted to say when Brother Bragg and Thomas were talking about the setup of this global white supremacist commerce economic system, a linchpin in this is if you look at the way things are now or were and about to transition, we were using the petrodollar. So the United States had to bully everybody into using this petrodollar to bolster the United States economy globally. Now China's in the process of instating using precious metals. But if you go back, the original commerce were black people. So when they set up the global system, it was slavery, like Scotty said, and the commerce, the dollars were black people. That's why you could take out credit on your slaves. If back in those days,
real estate,
because if you owned enough slaves, you can put your slaves up for collateral. If, let's say, you wanted to buy farmland, you put up, let's say, 25 slaves, and the bank basically holds the papers on those slaves. If you don't pay the bank back, they keep your slaves and sell them to someone else to make the money back that you should have had. That's where they get the term of calling us bucks from. Bucks came from buying and selling black people. That's one thing I wanted to discuss, just because the entire foundation of the credit system that this global white supremacist system set up was based on black people. There's a great book called The Half Has Never Been Told, and in that book they give all the history of the credit system that was set up on what they call black gold, which was our ancestors. Now, to tie into, I'm going to tie in some hip-hop stuff to the history that both Thomas, yourself, and Brother Bragg, and even Scotty was building on in regards to the history of indigenous people here. I said this before, and I couldn't find it, but I found it. I talked about the fact that Ozer Eddie Bastard from the Wu-Tang Clan was of indigenous descent. So the article says, did you know ODB and other members of the Wu-Tang Clan have Shinnecock Indian ancestry? The members of the hip-hop tribe Wu-Tang Clan are descended from the Shinnecock Indians. Old Dirty Bastard, this is how he was able to get his welfare check. That famous footage of him catching his getting his welfare check at on MTV, this, part of it had to do with his Native American ancestry and his ability to exploit it to his advantage. So Old Dirty Bastard is related to Shinnecock Indians. His band members and cousins, RZA, Jizza, and the late Old Dirty Bastard, claim to have traced their ancestry back to the Native Americans and declare themselves as such. When asked of their race, another family member, road manager Papa Wu, tells Page6.com, "We are Indians. My grandfather was Chief Fred Cuffey. We used to go to the Indian powwows on the 4th of July. On paper, under race, I put American Indian. ODB did the same thing. A lot of people don't know that. Yeah, the Shinnecock, him, RZA, Jizza, Free Murder, Chakrons, Papa Wu, 62nd, and Brooklyn Zoo are cousins. They are grandsons of Wickham Cuffey." And they say, "Brooklyn Zoo is not just a rap group. We have a deep history of culture, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of the way of life we spread through our music. Our roots run deep. Our strong foundation allows us to see and prepare and create the future, not just music, but of culture itself. Contrary to historical belief, the Shinnecock Indians are not extinct. Our family legacy did not die, along with our great-great-grandfather, Wickham Cuffey, who was reported to be the last, quote-unquote, pure-breed Shinnecock Indian at his death in 1915. The Shinnecock blood runs deep through the veins of all his children, grandchildren, and extended family. It is this purity that often intimidates others, but we use this power to anoint others with knowledge. We always stay on humble grounds, yet still we are the first New Yorkers, and we maintain this humbleness from staying righteous. We were taught when we were very young from our uncle, Freedom Allah, known around the world as Papa Wu. It wasn't until Prince Rakim, which is RZA, and Genius, which is Jizza, came out with their first singles, Come Do Me Baby and We Love You Rakim, We Can't Forget Unique Asan." We're talking about ODB right now. So let me, wait, there's another section I really wanted to, oh, wait a minute, hold on. There it is. Okay, so it says, "There's a lot of history with the Brooklyn Zoo and Wu-Tang that people don't know. Dirty, RZA, and Genius are my older cousins, but we don't say cousins. Keeping with our Indian culture, we say brothers because they are my big brothers. They were the founders of the Wu-Tang. Brooklyn Zoo was the first killer bees of that clan." So they're telling you that they infused their indigenous culture into their music, and Old Dirty was a direct descendant, and as well as his relatives, of the chief of the Shinnecock Indians. I remember Dr. Ben also helped another Native American group back in the 80s get their status because they were not recognized either. They were thought to have been extinct until Dr. Ben helped these people get recognized by Long Island as not being extinct. And it's just amazing, this history. So I'm hoping that little tidbit will give some of the other indigenous black people here that impetus to try and find out who they are and where they're related to. Because chances are you did not come on an African slave ship. You were bred right here by those races that set up that global system.
You were always here. You from exactly. The ancient ones. You are always on this land. See, that's the thing. They came to our home.
To contribute.
Yep. Yes, sir.
That's what
well
I wanted
said,
to
Rob.
Contribute.
Well said. I didn't know that they were related to me. I didn't know.
Yes, sir.
From out of Hackensack, dude, I didn't. Okay, it makes sense now. There's some things that made sense that Roz just solidified. I'm not surprised now. I'm not surprised. Hey, listen, before we go back to the other brother, I want y'all to really listen to this real quick. This quote. Thomas Jefferson had this quote. "I believe that the banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than stand an army," Jefferson wrote. If the American people ever allow private banks to control, that word control is, the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around these banks will deprive the people of all the property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their forefathers conquered. Here's the key to that. Their forefathers conquered this land. It was never there. It was an act of violence. And what it is that they don't want the mercenary tactics that they used to acquire the land from the indigenous to now to consume them. This is why it's so important that we never become what you had to endure. They're speaking the flaw of what they did and hope that they won't be victimized by it. And I'm going to tell you, every time you make a deal with the devil, you lose your soul. So, so important. And everything that was said is right there. It's the conqueror. The conqueror. Who was conquered? The displacement of the people. Very, very important. So there was another, the one, Brett Thomas, you said that you wanted to, you had something that you wanted to interject. If you could, go ahead and do it, Thomas, before we get out of here.
Absolutely, man. And I want to say big up to Laz. Laz was absolutely correct. We read the book, Half Has Not Been Told, on the cows. And one of the big themes of the book was called GTT, which was going to Texas. And that's what all of the southern white plantation owners who got into debt and the banks were coming to get their slaves, they would go to Texas. They would hide their slaves at their brother or their sister's plantation. When the banks come, and the slaves won't be there to get, and they'll pack up their slaves and go to Texas with them. Therefore, the government couldn't offer any penalties for them not paying their debts. So that's one of the big statuses of Texas. So, yeah, slaves are credit. The article I wanted to read to you, and it was funny because we were talking the other day. Sorry, this little kid coming through here with a little motorcycle.
No, you good, brother.
Of course, he does it right around where I'm standing. we talked about this the other day, and I was telling you that the people who will rule the world will be the people that will rule the AI. And I've been talking about this person for some while. His name is Elon Musk. And I've said that he's mm-hmm. the most dangerous white person alive for a lot of reasons. But a lot of people will think that he's against the artificial intelligence because he talks about being against it. But that's not true. He wants you to be connected to it. He doesn't want you
No, I never said Elon Musk was against artificial intelligence.
I didn't say you did. I was telling what other people might... They might read articles because he's always...
Yeah, because I saw that same thing, Thomas. Yeah, you're right. Elon Musk, the CEO of Tesla, everyone. Go ahead, Thomas.
He's talking about North Korea. And in this article, he says that North Korea is not a threat to the United States. They have no artificial intelligence that's anywhere near becoming a threat, you know, even with their nuclear mm-hmm. power. He did go on to say there is a three forces in this arms race for artificial intelligence: the U.S., China, and India. He's not mentioning Russia.
Yes,
he's saying Russia is way far behind in this article. That their artificial intelligence is not able to think for itself; it still has to be programmed. And I'll mute my line. Thank you.
What happened to Thomas?
Oh, I said, yeah, I ended it off by saying that he's saying that Russia's artificial intelligence is not able to think for itself yet. It's still way behind.
Right.
So China, India, and the U.S. are the three superpowers as far as this artificial intelligence goes. And that was going back to what we were talking about the other day when you was talking mm-hmm. about Russia. And I was saying Russia's not really... They don't really got it like that. Putin is right now just trying to get his colleges on board, but they're so far behind that I think they understand that it's a lost cause for them.
Yeah.
This is why I keep saying that the U.S. move is to go into China. You know, they can't let them beat them out in this realm. I'll meet my line. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Thomas, real quick. I don't know, because one of the things that you may have not heard the show, but I've always said that China and Russia are in this together. Then after they defeat the U.S., then China and Russia will be going to war, because China is the main carrot that's here. Yes, that's very, very true. One of the things that Russia does have is that Russia has cellular technology. It's not AI, but it's cellular technology. Do a little research on that. I'm not refuting anything that you're saying. I definitely agree, because, yes, in the AI world, the artificial intelligence world, it is India. It is China. It is the U.S., but the U.S. is in a far – the U.S., all of its
infrastructure has been sold out to China. They know the proprietary creations have been already sold out to China and to India in order for the U.S. to continue to do what it's been doing. So, yes, I totally, that's so true. Elon Musk is a very, very, that person is one of the celebrity shadow figures for what is really going on. So true. And I'm glad you brought that up, brother. So if you would, you definitely need to be the AI expert for this show, bro. So I would love to hear from you further on that. So, all right, everyone, we got to get ready to get out of here. I'm going to leave it up to Brother Braggs just to finish out with some of his thoughts. And Roz, if you wanted to jump in after that, then we're going to go ahead and end it out, Brother Braggs. So, Brother Braggs, go ahead.
Now, the only thing I was looking at, man, it was a takeover, and that is the beginning of real commerce. That's when they took over control of all the black world, all around the world in those 1800s. 1776, they really took over in 1774, but 1776 is when they finished everything, when they had control. They had burned down Washington, D.C. Those Marines that helped burn down Washington, D.C. were given their own indigenous lands in the islands, and they're still there to this day. So it's just the precursor. Once they took over the government, this is what you see now. The people that lost the war were allowed to walk back in and gangster control of the country. That's all I was just trying to show, because most people don't know that part of history, and I had stumbled upon that, man, about 25 years ago, and I could never find it. And then I came upon an article, and when I dug into the article, there it was, about the Republican Party, the KKK. Just, man, it's really good history, and it lets you know where we are today. That's why whenever you hear them say de facto, that's what they're in reference to, because people don't know that part of history. Even though we went to school, that part of history is deleted. You once controlled the halls of Congress, the Senate. You helped do the Constitution. You helped put all this stuff in effect. And then you were overthrown by the people who lost the war. Now, the war was really about who was going to be the slave. And what they did with that 13th and 14th Amendment, they gave you second-class citizenship. And they elevated these Europeans, because remember, poor white folks was on the same level, basically, as slaves. They were bound to the land. And the other thing I didn't say, the 13 colonies started off as penal colonies. And once you dig down on that, you'll see where everybody was a slave. So it wasn't us that enslaved. They enslaved us when they came here, but they enslaved anybody they could put their hands on, because all they needed was labor. Remember, everything was commerce. And that's
man,
all I got
so
to say, man.
Hey, Brother Dave,
de facto. Yeah, go ahead, Brother Davis. Go ahead. And then go ahead. We're going to end it out after Brother Davis.
If you look up the Act of 1871, you will see where the takeover was taken after the Civil War. Nobody would lend us money, so there had to be a grace given. Congress made a deal with the Rothschilds family, and there started the ball rolling. I just wanted to add that, brother.
Well said, Brother Davis.
I just got one more thing to say.
Yeah, brother.
And everybody is a slave, because everybody is surety against the loan right now. Everybody.
Yes. Yes. It's security against the loan, the collateral against the loan. This is why you're known as human resources. So, listen, everyone. We're going to have to go ahead and get out of here. De facto means that you aren't the original. You are the one that has embedded yourself by false means or methods. So, okay, everyone, we got to get ready to get out of here. Great, great show. Much love, much respect, Brother Braggs. Great show. Thomas, for calling, and Roz, and Brother Davis, and Scotty, for all of your input, and for you, the listener, for being a part of it all. We got to get ready to get out of here. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Brother Bragg, if you would, chime us out. Peace.
It's peace.
Peace.
Gold.
gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
Gaddafi
didn't give up.